This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new high-tech scooter known as the Segway Human Transporter will be available to consumers starting in March. Most people seem to agree it's a pretty cool invention. Yet there's a lot of worry surrounding its use. The company that manufactures the Segway is lobbying for the right to use it on sidewalks, and 33 states have passed legislation allowing that. But many pedestrian and senior citizen groups are worried that these vehicles could collide with pedestrians, causing serious injuries. A little later, we'll hear from one of the activists who led the campaign banning the Segway from the sidewalks of San Francisco. First, we're going to hear from the Segway's inventor, Dean Kamen. Until the Segway, he was best known for his medical inventions, including a portable insulin pump, a kidney dialysis machine for home use, a heart stent, and a motorized wheelchair that can climb stairs. We'll talk about some of these inventions later, but let's start with the Segway. I asked Dean Kamen to describe what it looks like and how it works.
The best way to describe how it works or how it feels is like a pair of magic sneakers. It looks like a low platform about 6 inches high on which you stand, and there's a small shaft, a handle comes up, which ends up looking like the handles of a bicycle. And you have two wheels, but instead of like a bicycle where they're one in front and one in back, each one is just outside your left and right foot. So when you first look at it, you'd say, this thing must be unstable. It's missing either its front or rear axle. But in the platform that you're standing on, there are a set of 5 gyroscopes that are sensing any kind of motion, acceleration, tilt of the platform, and they feed 9 different computers lots of information in real time, and those computers send signals out to the wheels in such a way that if the machine were even very slightly tipped forward, the wheels would run under it forward. If the machine were tilted backward, they would run backward.
When you were researching this Segway and figuring out what the computers and the gyroscopes needed to do, did you, like, walk a lot and try to analyze what your body was doing as you were walking?
Well, actually, it's even more than that. The Segway really comes from a medical product that I worked on for more than 10 years. I've literally spent my entire adult life working on medical products. And one that we started many, many, many years ago was a product that I thought would be a way to give the disabled population a capability that virtually no product addresses. Those people, whether they're in wheelchairs because they have no capability to move their legs, or if they're in a wheelchair or using a walker or any other device because of whether it's Parkinson's disease or MS, we find ways to move those people around, but what they've lost is the ability that we all take for granted to do something uniquely human called walking. And so the more I looked at wheelchairs and how to improve them, the more I got frustrated. I mean, I could make a wheelchair climb stairs. You could make it look like a bulldozer or a tank. But finally, after years of being frustrated that we couldn't really do what we thought needed to be done, it suddenly occurred to us why. And that is, what they lost was the specific way to move around by standing up and balancing and having a small footprint and being with their colleagues in conversation eye to eye. And so we said, you know, let's not improve the wheelchair. Let's figure out how to restore effectively human balance. And that set me on a 10-year expedition into understanding this very subtle and, frankly, from an engineering point of view, very difficult process of understanding balance and walking. We did it. We built a device called an iBot, which literally allows a disabled person to cruise down the hallway at eye level with their peers, balanced on 2 wheels the way their peers are balanced on their feet. It allows them to go step up and down curbs and literally walk up and down stairs. And we spent so much time trying to understand and finally succeeding in understanding how humans ambulate and balance and walk that we realized we could take the same technology and apply it to the Segway and make this technology available to the rest of the population.
So getting back to the actual design of the Segway, how do you steer it and how do you adjust the speed of it?
Forward and back, there's no clutch, there's no brakes, there's no throttle, there's no accelerator, there's no gear shift. There is only one control on the whole machine. And in your left hand, almost like the throttle would be on a motorcycle, there's a rotating member. And if you rotate it to the left, like a little steering wheel, the machine turns to the left. If you rotate it to the right, the machine turns to the right. That is the only control on the machine. And when you combine that wrist coordination with your thinking forward, thinking stop, or thinking backwards, after a little while, you literally can dance around a room. If you were just here, I would just put you on the machine, and you would cruise down the hall, you would turn around, you would come back to me smiling, and when you got back to me, you would just stop.
No,
you wouldn't know how you stopped. You'd just stop, and you'd smile, and you'd say, I get it.
Are you saying that because the gyroscopes and the computers are very complicated, and you couldn't explain how they work any easier than you could explain how our brains
work? Yeah, the way the gyros work, I could explain very easily. Imagine that the gyroscope, and there's a bunch of them, and they're redundant, so if something happens to one of them, it doesn't affect the performance or safety of the machine. But a gyroscope is sitting there, for instance, one of them is vertical, and it always wants to be vertical. And if you stand on this platform, and since it only has two wheels and they're side by side, any subtle motion of your body that puts your center of mass in front of the point of contact of those wheels would start to tip the platform forward. Everybody's familiar with that concept. That's why when they look at this machine, they're so familiar with that concept, they say, my God, it'll fall over. But as soon as it starts to tip by any amount, the gyros sense that tip. They send information to the computers. The computers look at how much it's tipping, how much the rate of change of tipping is either increasing or decreasing, and how much the rate of change of the rate of change, in other words, the position, the velocity, and the acceleration of that platform are all being measured in real time very, very frequently. And as a function of how much tip there is, those computers determine how much power to send to the motors so that the motors will torque those wheels to run in the direction of the tip so that they will return it to being vertical while they move. And so as you get on this machine, you never really feel a tipping, but if you kind of start to lean forward as if you were doing what you naturally do to take a step, those motors will just make those wheels move you forward while the platform appears to you to not have leaned over very much. If you decide I don't want to go any further, your natural instinct is to kind of lean back, and as soon as you lean back, the platform senses or the gyro sense that the platform is now leaning back, it takes the torque away from the motors and stop it or, in fact, move it backwards.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dean Kamen, and he is the inventor of the Segway. Now, a lot of pedestrian groups are very concerned about the Segway, and San Francisco has banned the Segway on city streets. The concerns include that a motorized vehicle on sidewalks or pedestrians walk can be threatening to pedestrians, particularly the elderly, people who are frail, people whose walking is impaired, people whose hearing is impaired, and they might not notice that there's a vehicle behind them. But really, any pedestrian walking down the street could conceivably be injured by a heavy, you know, motorized scooter or vehicle, whatever you'd want to call it. So what's your argument on behalf of allowing Segways on sidewalks of city streets?
Well, first I'd like to say you said that they were, I think the word you used was banned from the streets of San Francisco. Actually, I believe they're just fine on the streets of San Francisco. What we had attempted to do...
I meant sidewalks.
Right, well, a big difference.
Yeah.
Once we were able to make a device that moves like a pedestrian, stops like a pedestrian, can spin in place and do pirouettes better than most people except maybe a ballerina. We had a device that has a footprint as small as a pedestrian. It leaves you at eye level with other people. Your hands, again, it would be much easier to have this discussion with you or anybody if you had some experience with the machine. But once a person uses it and sort of adopts it as an extension of themselves, it becomes pretty clear to anybody on it that you certainly wouldn't want to be out in the street in front of a bus. You're standing there, you're backing up, you're spinning around like any other pedestrian. You're just a little bit more empowered.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Say you're working down the street, you know, and I'll just speak for myself here. I'm usually walking down the street oblivious because I'm thinking about something and I'm not necessarily thinking about where I am or what's going on around me. And then I might suddenly stop and say, did I bring my keys? And suddenly I've stopped. I'm checking for my keys. Say there's a Segway right behind me that's going three times the speed that I'm walking. The Segway won't necessarily be able to stop as quickly as I've stopped. So, I mean, that's a kind of, I think, typical pedestrian concern.
I think that is the typical pedestrian concern, and that's why I think we need to educate people and let them experience this. Because, in fact, if somebody were behind you and you were walking along on a crowded sidewalk and they were behind you, they wouldn't be going three times as fast as you. And if you were to stop, your natural instinct to stop, even if you suddenly stopped quickly, their natural instinct would be about the same, and the stopping distances at the from the same speeds are about the same. I can simply tell you that in 100,000 hours of use now on the sidewalks, there's been no such occurrence.
But, you know, here's the thing. It's a little difficult to judge from experiences to this point because how many people have Segways? So if there's a Segway being used on a sidewalk, it might be the only Segway in town. If it really catches on and there's lots of people in city sidewalks using the Segway, then the whole nature of pedestrian traffic patterns starts to change.
And frankly, we hope you're right. And again, we've thought about that for many years. The first thing I would say is I agree with you. We don't have a lot of experience. And the only way to get experience with any new thing is to be open-minded and try it. And all we have been doing as we go around the country trying to show people what this option might do for them is to have them say, let's try it. But I would also tell you that as we gain experience and see that they mix well with pedestrians, to your question, which was what happens when there's a lot of them, I guess there's many answers. But if it turns out that there are not going to be a lot of them, then this isn't an issue worth anybody's big concern. If it turned out there would be a lot of them, then what will happen is the infrastructure will make appropriate adjustments.
Dean Kamen invented the Segway human transporter. We'll talk about his medical inventions later in the show, but first we'll hear why and how San Francisco banned the Segway from the city's sidewalks. That's after a break. This is Fresh Air. The Segway human transporter will be available to consumers starting next month. It's already being used in the Disney planned community of Celebration, Florida, as well as at Disney theme parks. The post office has tested Segways for mail deliveries and is still evaluating the results. Several police departments have experimented with the Segway. The Atlanta police are testing the Segway at Hartsfield Airport. The Los Angeles Metro Transit Authority just purchased some Segways for evaluation. The biggest controversy surrounding the Segway surrounds its use on sidewalks, where critics say it could be dangerous for pedestrians. 33 states have passed laws allowing the Segway on sidewalks. San Francisco is the first and currently the only city to ban the Segway from its sidewalks. I spoke with Bruce Lee Livingston, who helped lead the opposition. He's the executive director of the Senior Action Network and is a longtime health and environmental activist. He says that seniors are particularly vulnerable to being hurt by a Segway on the sidewalk.
There's no question that seniors are especially vulnerable. When they are knocked down, they can suffer a bone injury that can be permanent. It's the classic case of the hip injury. And they might not necessarily be able to move out of the way as fast as other people. But it's not just seniors. It's everybody who uses the sidewalk. We cannot allow every new instrument that's invented to be put on the sidewalks to replace pedestrians. We have to put new commuter vehicles or any other vehicle in the road. The only vehicles we allow on the sidewalk are motorized wheelchairs, which people with disabilities use. So we can't just allow them to be congested with other instruments.
Is it possible that seniors would actually benefit if they were able to use Segways on the sidewalk? Because a lot of seniors have trouble walking more than a block or so, and they don't necessarily drive. So, you could make the argument that the Segway would enable them to go shopping, to visit friends who live nearby but slightly too far away to walk.
Well, I don't even think I've heard the company try to make that argument because, you have to stand up on the Segway scooter. You have to find a way to carry things on the scooter. But even if you had a few seniors that were mobile and strong enough to use a Segway scooter, you would have to worry about the other ones who are on the sidewalk who can't use them. So we just can't put these new vehicles out there to the detriment of everybody else who uses the sidewalk.
Did you try a Segway yourself?
Well, actually, I did. It's become a little bit of a famous incident. When we were asking the state not to pass the law allowing the Segway scooters, the corporation asked that they meet with us, and they brought the scooter up into our boardroom. And I got on it, and I'm fairly athletic, and I wanted to see what you could do with it if you had malintent. And I ran into five chairs, and they flew across the room. And it's because, it's got the self-stopping system that if you want to stop and you're aware, you can stop it. But if you want to accelerate, it has tremendous acceleration and tremendous power. So that's what happened, and we were shocked at how much power it has. So if somebody's not paying attention, or if someone has malintent, or perhaps even if somebody is drunk. So we'd like to see our agencies take a look at this and not just abdicate the responsibility and leave it up to little cities to try to figure out whether it's safe or not.
San Francisco was the first city in the nation to ban Segways from the sidewalk. You were part of the campaign to convince the city supervisors to ban the Segway. Was it a hard sell on your part?
Well, like everything, it's a hard sell. There was a lot of lobbying by the corporation, and as I said, they have lobbied extensively throughout the country. But we have a very strong and mobile active senior voice here, and half of our pedestrian deaths are senior citizens. And we just had to say that this is a pedestrian safety issue, as it should be.
What were your impressions of the Segway lobby when this bill was being discussed?
Well, in California, the Segway Corporation hired a group that we refer to as CAPAO, which is the largest lobbying firm in Sacramento. And they hired them. They brought their scooter into the Capitol and got people on this thing. It's a wonderful technology. It is actually fun, which is why we're glad to see that it's being used on Disney cruises, and I think it's going to be used in some other Disney locations. But we think it should be tested out in small environments, in amusement parks, and it should be tested for street use, possibly in bicycle lanes. What they did was they very rapidly put it through with this pro-environment kind of rhetoric. And here in California, we found out about that very late. If it's going to be pro-environment, it has to be, again, on the streets. There wasn't much we could do. It was already in the second house in the Appropriations Committee. You can't testify on anything except perhaps insurance issues. So it was very far along in the process. And it's just unfortunate that what happens is it gets left up to the cities. We made sure that there was legislation, that wording that very clearly said that we could ban it at the local levels. But that's a tremendous effort. So now it's going on in many cities and areas in the Bay Area, such as Santa Cruz, San Mateo, Berkeley, Emeryville, Oakland. They're all considering ordinances now to ban it from the sidewalks.
Do you think the Segway is safe on the streets? You're banning it from the sidewalks in San Francisco, but do you think it's safe on the streets? And I ask this because, in a lot of cities, the lanes aren't very wide. There isn't necessarily a bicycle lane. So you've got cars going at one speed in the same area that you've got bicycles going at a slower speed, and now Segway's going at an even slower speed.
Well, it may not be safe on the streets, and that's something the corporation will have to deal with and our public agency should look at. But we shouldn't, therefore, put it on the sidewalk and threaten walkers. We should look at this new technology as an opportunity. Let's thoroughly test it. In the environmental movement, we call it the precautionary principle, which is that before we put something out on the market, we should do some testing, have some precautions, and make sure that it's safe. So this is an opportunity to get something that's good for the environment out there. Is it as safe as a bicycle or a motorcycle, which is on the streets? I'm not sure. Maybe we need helmet laws or knee pads. I certainly think we should have insurance requirements and age limits, and we should limit its off-road use. But we wanted to make sure, and we went out very quickly saying that it does not belong on the sidewalks. That's why we had to do that. We knew we could pass that kind of ordinance. That's what we recommend other cities throughout the nation to do, is to look at, are your sidewalks wide enough?
When you did test out the Segway, I know you weren't a practiced user of it, but just, you know, as a novice stepping on for the first time, did you feel like you could control it?
Yes, I could. However, one of our senior activists, Jean Lynch, got on it, and she was terrified. And the Segway folks said, well, we would like to provide training for anybody who uses the scooter. That's not required by law, and there will be knockoffs if this is legal, so it won't be necessarily offered by any other corporation. So it is intimidating. You do have to learn to balance.
Well, Bruce Lee Livingston, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Bruce Lee Livingston is the executive director of the Senior Action Network in San Francisco. I'm Terry Grossen. This is Fresh Air.